You're listening to SBS News.
When the first national plan to reduce violence against women and their children was devised in 2010, one in three Australian women had experienced physical violence since the age of 15, while almost one in five had experienced sexual violence. Fast forward more than a decade, and we've seen hundreds of Australian women murdered by current or former partners, allegations of sexual assault in the halls of federal parliament, and thousands rally across the country for gender equality and justice. So has the plan actually achieved any of the things it set out to? Paddy Kinnersley is chief executive of prevention organisation Our Watch. She says while there's still a lot of work to do, the plan has been instrumental in deepening the federal government's commitment to reducing violence against women. She says there's also been a cultural shift in how gendered violence and equality is viewed, from an issue that solely concerned women to one that is everybody's business.
That's a big achievement. It's not showing a change in the data yet, but we've got a whole lot more people who are interested in this conversation now. The other thing is that we are starting to see some progress towards a shift in some attitudes. There's also signs that there's greater acceptance of some aspects of gender equality, such as women's full-time participation in the workplace.
But she says with 29 women murdered so far this year, the gender pay gap increasing in the last 6 months, and women being among the first to be stood down as a result of the pandemic, Australia clearly hasn't advanced far enough. Next week's National Summit on Women's Safety will form part of the consultation process for the new national plan to reduce gendered violence in Australia, which comes into force next year. Ms. Kinnersley is one of 19 members of a multidisciplinary advisory group for the plan. She says its focus needs to be on preventing gendered violence from happening in the first place, in alignment with the national evidence-based framework, Change the Story.
We absolutely need to keep investing in response and early intervention, but unless we centre prevention, we'll be back here in 30 years with worse numbers. You know, we've got to change the underlying conditions that are leading to violence against women.
She says gender inequality is a key driver of family and sexual violence.
We need to promote and normalise gender equality in all the places we spend our time, at work, at sport, in the home, you know, in the media, and we need governments taking a gendered lens to all of their policy development.
She says if attitudes, behaviours and structures are going to change, men and boys need to be involved in the process.
We absolutely need, you know, men in leadership roles to be driving change. We need men as fathers to be setting examples. We need men in relationships to be setting healthy relationship examples. We need men as bystanders to challenge their mates when they're doing sexist behaviours.
Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women are 45 times more likely to be victims of violence than their non-Indigenous counterparts. They are 30 times more likely to be hospitalised and 10 times more likely to die as a result. But despite the National Family Violence Prevention and Legal Services Forum being the only advocate group for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander victims and survivors, co-chair Winetta Jewis says it had to fight to get a seat at the summit.
We represent 14 members that work on the ground with our First Nations women and children, and we see firsthand the impacts of family violence and sexual assault in our communities. But too often our voices are silenced and ignored.
Ms. Jewis says the current national plan has done little to address what she calls a national crisis of violence against First Nations women and children.
You see issues of, overcrowding, you know, in houses where we've got multiple families living together, and then that creates dysfunction and then, you know, allows for family violence and all of these other social issues to arise.
She says there's a lack of quality and adequately funded services in communities, and many First Nations women don't feel safe in reporting their experiences of violence to the police.
I'm just hoping that this summit is not just going to be another talk fest where government felt like they're getting the consultation, getting the people together, but not doing it in a way that's going to really affect change.
Ms. Dewis says the National Forum has needed a dedicated plan for First Nations people for years.
It's our view that addressing the disproportionate rate at which Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women experience violence cannot be achieved through an overarching national plan. There has to be a separate dedicated plan for our First Nations women and children that must be established.
Saxon Mullins is a sexual assault survivor and Director of Advocacy at Rape and Sexual Assault Research and Advocacy. She says more input is needed from younger people, such as those involved in End Rape on Campus Australia.
It's so important to have those voices attached because that is the future of this movement, and to exclude them is to exclude a giant portion of survivors, of people who experience the exact thing that we're there to talk about.
Ms. Mullins says a greater focus also needs to be put on sexual violence and listening to the stories of survivors from diverse communities.
Often it's felt that sexual violence is a sort of second thought to domestic violence, and it feels like sometimes it's just tacked onto the end, but it's not really fleshed out in a way that brings results and brings things that we actually want to change from that.
She says among the changes Rape and Sexual Assault Research and Advocacy is pushing for is that consent laws are made consistent across Australia.
It just makes no sense to have some states like Tasmania and soon to be New South Wales to have this affirmative consent model, but other states don't have that.
Ms. Mullins says that inconsistency also extends to consent and prevention education, which she argues needs to extend beyond schools and into other parts of society like workplaces.
I think we really need to pin down really fundamental things that we can't go without any longer. I might regret using this word, but I think sometimes we do need to be a bit more radical in our thinking. We try and push our ideas into what the government will do, but the government should push what they will do into what our ideas are.
A national response for migrant and refugee women is what Michal Morris, Chief Executive of In Touch Multicultural Centre Against Family Violence, says she'd like to see.
We need to be more ambitious. We need to be bolder. We need to be very holistic around our service plans in terms of we need to have a look at different population groups who are disadvantaged and make sure that they're part of the system.
Ms. Morris says there's currently no data available that shows how prevalent family and sexual violence is among migrant and refugee communities, where they get their information about it from, or how likely they are to seek help.
One of the most important things we need to do is understand help-seeking behaviours and pathways to help and make sure that we're covered, making sure that every woman who lives in Australia knows how to get help and where to get help when and if they need it.
She says the backgrounds of the more than 1,600 women that the Victorian organisation helped last year directly reflect Australia's migration program.
The three top cohorts that are migrants are the three top communities that we saw. I can't tell you if that is an anomaly or if that is consistent with what's happening around the country. There's more that we don't know than what we do know.
And while there are still women in Australia who are unsafe and don't know how to get help, Ms. Morris says a lot more needs to be done.
We need to think of this as a long-term issue and create long-term solutions and fund it properly. And then we need to monitor and review it to make sure that we're transparent in how we're delivering the new plan.
Amy Hall, SBS News.